Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Solarpack Financial Year 2019 Results Presentation. During the call, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question during this time, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that the call is being recorded today, Friday, the 28th of February, 2020. I shall now hand over to your host for today, Pablo Burgos. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Solarpack's full year 2019 results. My name is Pablo Burgos, CEO of the company, and I am sitting with Ignacio Artazco, Executive Director, Maria Burgos, CFO of the company, and Javier Arellano, in charge of investor relations. We are excited to report on the results of our first year as a listed company. Our conference call will be split between a presentation and a Q&A session that will come after. Total duration of this conference call will be 1 hour maximum. The presentation we will review this morning is available for download in our website and has been also uploaded to the CNMV website. If we can first move to page number 2, we will see the disclaimer that governs this presentation. Please read it after the call if you haven't. Page number 3 contains the index of what we are going to discuss today. We will start with a brief review to the key milestones. Then we will have an operations update and a financial review. We also want to discuss a special item to share with you our focus on ESG being ahead of the year 2020. We will finalize with the outlook, both short-term and long-term. After the presentation, we will start our Q&A session. Please follow the instructions you have received while registering for this call in order to place questions. In the document that we have filed, you can also find an appendix with additional information. Moving on to page number 4, we want to highlight the key milestones for the period and for the whole 2019 year. Companies are its people, and in this sense, we believe that the reinforcement of our top management capabilities with the addition of Ignacio Artazco to our team is a milestone of the highest impact. Ignacio will bring to Solarpack top management skills in listed and growth entities, allowing us for a more effective growth path. I'm personally very happy to form a team with him. Ignacio will act as executive chairman following our coming general shareholder meeting. As a second milestone, it is worth to say that we already have a significant capacity in operation, which reaches 540 megawatts as of today. More importantly, our attributable capacity, which is proportionate to our shareholding stakes in projects, reaches 450 megawatts. Since our third quarter 2019 results presentation, an additional 235 megawatts have been put in operation in Spain and Chile. We are tripling our installed capacity since the latest full year results presentation in February 2019. We have reached and exceeded our IPO targets in terms of construction starts in new projects and believe this is a key third milestone for the year. Our development and construction teams have initiated a total of 536 megawatts of construction in new projects during 2019. Signaling a new era of industrial capacities for Solarpack. As a fourth milestone, we have also kept during 2019 a growth momentum for future periods, with a new order intake of 215 megawatts during the year. This lies in the mid part of the run rate range we have been sharing with the market, which is between 150 and 300 megawatts per year. As a fifth milestone, our acquisition of the Peruvian assets Tacna Panamericana allowed us to exceed the targets of PowerGen EBITDA that we fixed during our IPO and accelerate further. We are finalizing the upgrade of the assets and plan to close our farm down to Arden in the next weeks before our next results presentation. These are high quality assets that will provide stable cash flows for many years to come. Last but not least, together with the investment community, we are putting our focus on ESG activity as a more integrated approach in our whole operations. This is our sixth milestone. ESG is not new in the company, and we will share with you clear examples of what we have been doing for many years. But the investment community is evolving in standardization of ESG and its reporting. Solarpack is part of such initiative. Now, Ignacio, please guide us through the key figures of 2019.
Thank you, Pablo, and good morning to all the audience that is connected in this earnings call. It is a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to sit down in front of you to have constructive discussions around Solarpack strategy, evolution, and performance. This is the first of many calls that I will be holding in the future. As you know, during the last year and a half, I have been part of Solarpack's team as independent board member. This month, I have started as full-time executive, sharing the leadership of the company with Pablo. In the last weeks, I have had the opportunity to start working directly with one of the most professional, demanding, challenging, agile, and ambitious executive teams that I have seen throughout my professional career. And this, combined with a company culture based on ethics and integrity, respect for people, strong relationships with the society, and with a privileged working atmosphere, which is truly extraordinary and that is a clear benchmark for other companies. As you see, all this is great starting point. Now we have to continue demonstrating best-in-class execution and delivering excellent results. So moving into the presentation and moving into page 5, where we have a summary of the key financial figures for 2019. We always differentiate and show the segment information and the IFRS 1. As you know, segment information helps us to show and understand cash generation and profitability of the three business units we have. In development and construction, our revenues in 2019 have gone up to 220 million euros from 13 last year, and our EBITDA has reached 40 million euros because we have constructed good part of our build and own and build and sell backlog that we had at the beginning of the year. Also, during the year, we have had an intense development activity in all geographies. In power generation, we saw proportional information. Revenues increased in 2019 from 21 to 35 million euros, with EBITDA raising from 19 to 30. Due to the consolidation of the acquired capacity in Spain and in Peru. As you will see in our guidelines for 2020, in the last year we commissioned quite a lot of projects and we will provide a strong recurrent EBITDA. In services, it remains being a small and solid business unit with 26% EBITDA margin. In 2019, apart from the recurrent business, there has been new growth coming from the repowering of the Peruvian assets. With all that, we can see in our total segment information a really strong growth coming from all business units thanks to our integrated approach to solar PV business with a clear industrial focus across the whole value chain that allow us to extract synergies, optimize costs and margins, and be extremely competitive in our business. All that growth respecting our two key financial metrics with 78% of power generation and services in hard currency, the guideline is above 66%, and 95% of contracted power generation revenues, our guideline is above 70%. In the IFRS reported information, this shows for 2019 revenues of 90 million euros and EBITDA of 30 million euros, with an EBITDA margin of 33%. The main difference between the total segment information and IFRS is coming from the elimination of intercompany sales between DEVCON and power generation of the build and own projects executed in 2019 that are eliminated in IFRS consolidation. That's 173 million euros revenues and 50 million euros EBITDA. With all that, I leave the word back to Pablo to continue with the operations report.
Thank you, Ignacio. Looking into slide 7, we can see the growth in our installed capacity, which has reached 540 megawatts in total and 450 if we look at our proportionate numbers. Please note that in these 450 megawatts, we have already considered the sell down of 49% of our assets in Tacna Panamericana to Ardian in anticipation of its closing. Maybe more important than the megawatts, it is relevant to look at the revenue stream coming out of this installed capacity. Revenues have reached 35.2 million euros during 2019 in this segment. Obviously, a big part of the 450 megawatt installed capacity have generated very low or no revenue during 2019, since 309 megawatts added during the period have been commissioned late in the year. In terms of EBITDA, we have reached 30.3 million euros, slightly above our guidance of 28.5 to 30 million euros, which we reported in our latest results presentation. Our balance between currencies and territories is also healthy, with 72% of the EBITDA denominated in euro and US dollar. If we move on to slide 8, we will see that the visibility of this revenue stream is also strong. Our contracted or regulatory life in the projects averages 22 years of remaining contracted or regulatory revenues. This is a competitive advantage of our generation fleet, now that average life of PPAs is reducing globally and particularly in some jurisdictions. Slide 9 gives us a summary of the plans that we have commissioned since the start of 2019 and our IPO. We have put in operation a total of 309 megawatts in 6 locations in 3 different jurisdictions as a proof of our industrial capacity to execute development and construction activities in-house, which are so diverse. If we look back to the last 5 years, we can note that the execution during 2019 is a giant step forward in terms of our team's capabilities. If we move on to slide 10, we see that not only commissioning 309 megawatts of new plants has been all the activity of our development and construction teams during 2019. Although still not completed, we have 227 megawatts of construction activity going on as we speak in 4 different locations across Spain and India. And if we look at future growth, our development teams have delivered during 2019 with 250 megawatts of new order intake, which bring the total in the last 5 years to 894 megawatts of backlog additions. Looking ahead to our operations, in the next slide, slide number 11, we can project an installed attributable capacity of 594 megawatts when the current backlog is completed, which will basically add 144 megawatts to our current capacity. We expect to have this addition to our backlog being completed and operational before June 2021. We maintain our target of a more ambitious goal of approximately 1 gigawatt of installed capacity in operation during 2022, and therefore our teams are developing our project funnel, which reaches 1.6 gigawatts of pipeline, 4.7 gigawatts of identified opportunities. Slide 12 shows the big step forward comparing the year-end 2018 numbers to year-end 2019 numbers in this respect. Pipeline has increased 45% and identified opportunities have tripled to 4.7 gigawatts during 2019. Since our latest results presentation, identified opportunities have been reduced mainly to scarcity in interconnection availability in Spain and some other projects in Southeast Asia. In Spain, we believe it will be difficult to find profitable projects where to start construction in the following 12 months. But this after 311 megawatts of new construction starts during 2019 in this jurisdiction. In addition to executing our project in Malaysia, we see clear chances to start construction of new projects in Chile and the USA during 2020. For coming years, we are currently in a very active bidding mode for closing PPA contracts in the Americas, USA and Colombia, and India, which we are confident that will deliver attractive PPAs with long-term tenors in the range of 20 years on average. which represents a big difference to what we can see in the private PPAs space in Spain, for example. Our recently awarded 21-year PPA in Malaysia is also a good proof of this. Now, Javier, please guide us through the financial review.
Thank you, Pablo. So if we go to slide 14, we see that 2019 saw total segment revenues multiply by almost 7 times from 2018, mainly due to the strong DEFCON activity linked to the execution of the backlog. EBITDA grew by 141% over 2018, led by DEFCON and also PowerGen, which slightly exceeded guidance given for 2019, as we covered. Quality trend remained strong with intense construction activity in Q4 2019. If we move to slide 15 and deep dive into DEFCON, Rubias and Monclova were put in operation in December last year, while Granja is about to start injection as we speak. Delay on this project versus initial expected COD has been provisioned in the segmental financial information. As for December 31st, 2019, there were still important invoicing milestones related to the IPO backlog pending to be booked on revenues and margin. Once these occur, they should drive gross margins towards low end of DEFCON IPO guidance range. On the financials, revenues went up to 221 million euros, while gross margin and EBITDA were 22 million euro and 14 million euro respectively, reflecting the intense construction activity during the year. On the next slide, we see that PowerGen revenues and EBITDA experimented significant growth compared to 2018, 70% and 61% respectively, due to the contribution of the 13 megawatts acquired in Spain in late 2018 and the full consolidation of Tacna and Panamericana during Q4 2019. Portfolio exposure to non-contracted revenue sources remains low at 5.5% of total revenues, while exposure of services plus power generation revenues to non-hard currencies diminishes versus the previous quarter to 22%, mainly due to the higher weight of revenues in US dollars explained by the acquisition of the Peruvian assets. As for Grullas, Monclova, Karnataka, and Granja, these projects will see their contribution to revenues and EBITDA in the segment during 2020. On slide 17, we can see the services segment in more detail. 2019 saw services revenues grow by 80% over 2018, mainly due to repowering activities and O&M restructuring of Tacna and Panamericana. These revenues, which are still almost completely in US dollars and euro, will see the contribution from the newly commissioned assets in 2020. Building on projects will give recurrence to this segment's revenues and margin protection going forward. Now let's take a look at the net debt on slide 18. The graph shows the net financial debt with the detail of what comprises the non-recourse net financial debt proportionate to SolarPack's ownership in its projects. This number is 367 million euros. If we extract the debt associated with the VAT on investment and 49% of the net financial debt associated with the Peruvian assets, which is planned to be farmed down to Ardian, we get to the 284 million euros, which compares to the guidance of services plus PowerGen EBITDA given for 2020 of 55 to 62 million euros, which we will cover later. This gives us a healthy run rate net financial debt over recurrent EBITDA, which also implies clear value creation from refinancing potential. On slide 19, we can take a look at the IFRS financials. 2019 operating revenues of 90 million euros reflect strong build and sell and power generation activities. EBITDA grew by 94% over 2018 to 28 million euros, reflecting strong recurrent contribution from power generation and build and sell. The main difference between segment and IFRS information lies in the elimination of strong revenues and margins booked on build and own projects, 173 and 15 million euros respectively. As for the net income, it is important to note that it includes a non-recurrent profit of 7.8 million euros derived from the Peruvian assets purchase price allocation. This is partly compensated by other non-recurring losses of 4.9 million euros due to the asset impairment in India, one-off of the 2018 long-term incentive plan accrual, and the transaction cost in Peru. As a final note, it's important to note also that in order to reconcile the 28.3 million euro EBITDA, which the P&L show in slide 29 of this presentation, you'd need to add to the EBIT of 21.4 million euros shown in that P&L, the amortization and impairments of 14.7 million euros, and deduct the one-off profit of 7.8 million euros from the purchase price allocation in the Peru, given its non-cash nature. Now, having covered this section, I leave the word back to Ignacio.
Thank you, Javier. Let's move now into ESG strategy. In Solarpack, we started at full speed in our ESG activities since the first steps of the company close to 15 years ago. I'm proud to say that ESG is in the DNA of Solarpack, thanks to the company commitment and also to the personal initiatives of the founders of the company. Since 2007, our PV projects include social initiatives to contribute to the communities where we operate, prioritizing developing regions and countries. Some examples here: installing PV modules in schools, supplying education and construction materials for schools, promoting local labor, supporting local education and empowerment, participating in immigrants' integration programs, and many other initiatives. Already in 2012, in our Peru projects, we fully implemented the World Bank standards and Ecuador principles. We collaborate with different nonprofits, in special with EQI Foundation, that has been created by Solarpack founders and that targets eliminating extreme poverty from the world and focuses its activity in supplying electricity, mostly with solar PV source, in Africa and LATAM. Now, the Solarpack Board of Directors has decided to give ESG a new impulse and standardization methodology and reporting. The board has decided that the newly created Strategy and Investments Committee leads ESG in Solarpack, fully integrating ESG into the long-term strategy of the company. Moving finally to the outlook of the company, in the short-term outlook for year 2020, we can see in power generation and services, that is our more visible, that are our more visible business unit, we are targeting here an EBITDA range between 55 and 62 million euros. As a reminder, this year have ended with 33 million euros EBITDA in the two business units. So we are planning to increase our EBITDA in these divisions between 66 and 88%. In DEVCOM, we express our outlook only for the projects that are currently under construction. In these projects, we are targeting revenues from 60 to 70 million euros with a gross margin above the high-end range, so meaning above 15%. In any case, we plan to execute in DEVCOM additional projects apart from the currently under construction, but we are not giving specific guidance to this additional activity. In our long-term outlook, we maintain our guidance, equity IRR in hard currency between 9 and 10%, and in soft currency between 12 and 15%, DEVCOM gross margin in the range of 10 to 15%, order intake per year between 150 and 300 megawatts, power generation contracted revenues above 70% and power generation and services in hard currency above 66%. So thank you very much for your attendance, and let's move now to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Again, that's star one for any questions. Our first question is from Jorge Guimaraes from JB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I just have two. Firstly, in going back to the question of the EBITDA guidance, the consensus in Bloomberg is 77 million euros, it's not clear how much EBITDA you're estimating for the DevCon area, but I believe it's not enough to reach this consensus. So my question would be, how do you see the 77 figure? And the second question is related to pipeline development in Spain. You are saying you're reducing your identified opportunities, saying you do not see enough interesting interconnection points or connection points. But what we hear from a lot of competitors is everyone increasing their pipelines, increasing their identified opportunities for huge amounts of capacity. So what are you seeing differently from other people? Is just a matter of being more conservative than others because you require higher IRRs, or is it something else? The question is, why are you conveying a message which seems to be different from everyone else? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. So maybe on the first question about the EBITDA consensus, we want to give guidance, a very clear and solid guidance on the EBITDA we expect in the power gen and services unit. But given the nature of how EBITDA is accounted in the DevCon activities, which is exclusively when we start construction of projects and in proportion to the expense we incur in these projects, it is, let's say, complex to, at the beginning of the year, give a specific range of guidance, including all projects in addition to the ones under construction. So in the ones under construction, we have a clear calendar of execution, finalization of the projects, and we can rely on this calendar. But there is a huge difference if a project starts construction in September 2020, for example, compared to starting construction in June 2020. The way we log in the DevCon margin. So down this year, when we have a clearer visibility of when the projects will start construction, we will be in a position to include in our DevCon margin these additional megawatts. In any case, we can confirm that we expect additional megawatts to start construction to the ones that are under construction today. So we should see an additional EBITDA for DevCon activities to the one we are giving outlook in this slide number 23. On Spain, I think maybe it's a difference between timing and also the areas where we are seeking projects and interconnection points. We are selective in the areas where we want to develop our projects for profitability reasons, and what we feel is that these areas are pretty congested now. But for future developments in this area, we are confident that new regulation comes in place before mid-2020. And we look forward to a more robust regulation in interconnection points, which can free up capacity, being more strict in terms of performance bonds that have to be posted when requesting for interconnection points, and making only financially capable developers and real projects being held in the interconnection queue. So that's maybe a difference to the forecast we are giving to compared to other companies. But I would also add that as a diversified company, we are not exclusively focused in Spain, and we have other geographies to cope for growth. And I would highlight that we have initiated a total of 311 megawatts of construction in Spain. That's also adding up to the timing concept I was referring to before.
Thank you very much.
Our next question is from the line of Gonzalo Bonanda from Saxa Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have three questions, if I may. First one on the reduction, I think you explained that the reduction in Spain is related with the interconnection issues in the identified opportunities part, but you've reduced also quite a lot your Southeast Asia exposure, and I just wanted to understand a little bit what will happen there, or if you don't see that as an opportunity any longer, or what happened for what was the reason for this reduction in the identified opportunities there.
Yeah.
And the second question would be... Sorry?
Yeah, please go ahead. Apologies.
Okay. Yeah. Second question would be on the Malaysian project. What is still pending for the works to start? I guess it's the PPA signature. Is there any risk there? Or is it just a matter of time? And then the third question is just a clarification on your guidance for 2020. In the DEFCON margin, you're expecting a margin... above the high enough range, and I just wanted to understand this is above the range, the 10 to 15% range that you have for the long-term outlook or the one you had for the backlog in the previous quarters, which, if I remember correctly, was something like 14.5 to 17.5. Thank you very much.
Okay. So on the reduction in Southeast Asia, these were identified opportunities, let's say, somehow particular in their structure, because they were linked to projects developed by others in some of the cases, and to initiatives in new countries which don't have a clear strategy, let's say, or a clear path to renewable energies, and which have not evolved satisfactory for the company, and therefore we have removed them as identified opportunities. So it's the maturity, let's say, of the jurisdictions where these identified opportunities were located, which led to us not being very confident on the outlook of these identified opportunities and removing them out of the list. On the second question, for Malaysia, we expect to sign the PPA as in the process laid out by the Public Utility of Malaysia by the end of March, and really it's more a procedure thing, taking into consideration legal documentation that has to be put in place. There's, no discussion on PPA since the PPA document was already included in the RFP. And in order to start construction, we are in final steps of construction approvals and also of closing financing for the construction operation of the plant. And calendar-wise, we expect this to happen during the second half of 2020. And then on the DEFCON margin, yes, we confirm that we are referring to a range, to a gross margin above the 10 to 15% range that we are indicating here.
So above the 15?
Yeah, above 15, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
And this is also linked to... We have on average a higher margin on build and sell projects, and this is a sign of us being cautious in how we price our internal EPC contracts. And the majority of the build and sell projects, as you can see, will be completed during this 2020 year. And also some of the projects, build and own projects, still have to achieve some final invoicing milestones, which are quite rich in terms of margin compared to the invoicing that has been carried out during 2019.
Very clear. Thank you.
If there are any further questions, please press star one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions that have come through, sir. I'll hand the call back to yourself.
Okay. So if no further questions, thanks very much to all the audience for attending our call. We expect to have another call by the end of the first quarter, and looking forward to getting in touch with you in between if needed. So thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. That does conclude the call for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.